So this is the second season. Welcome to the Penophiles. With
is that really what it's called?
That's really what it's called.
Okay. We don't at least pronounce like Penophiles.
Penophiles, okay.
I don't think I want to be associated with anything called Penophiles.
Can we at least like welcome it in with Welcome to Penophiles, the show that talks primarily about wine, but about some other
things as well. A little bit about kids. Diddling
kids.
There's no diddling kids. You mustn't diddle kids. Okay. Okay, let's go. Okay, let's go.
You simply mustn't.
Okay.
If there's one thing you learn from this podcast,
I might have to retrofit the intro again.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just do another intro that overlaps that one so we can.
Well, yeah, I mean, I will always do that, yeah.
We'll do it now.
Okay.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another series of Penophiles, the podcast that talks about wines like you talk about them with your friends so that you can get some new ideas for wines you might like to try. In series two, we're reviewing wines from Majestic Wine Warehouse, a nationwide specialist wine shop.
With me, today's guests are Christian Cowan.
Hello.
And Mark Holland.
Hi.
Long-time guests of the show. Both featured in every single episode of Series 1.
Veterans of the show.
Veterans, absolute veterans. And Christian, even more of a veteran of the preview.
Happy to be here, thanks for having me.
Excellent.
I'm a veteran of viewing the preview. Some of it. I watched about 5 minutes. Streamed it.
Long-time viewers will know that. Well, yeah. They'll remember that. That'll be a callback to Season 1.
Do you have many viewers?
Listeners, more than viewers.
Thought so.
Yeah.
Not fair, because the first one, the preview that we're referring to,
it wasn't
I viewed it, and
you know, I do plan to intersperse them with videos. It's just that today's video didn't go.
You're right. I'll rein in the sarcasm.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Let's keep it clean.
Once long time guest of the show, Christian Cowan, maybe to not feature on anymore after that.
The first and last appearance.
Yeah.
Second and last.
Still happy to be here. I would like to say they've got a great selection in there.
My dream job when I was a student was to work at Majestic. Because I discovered the Majestic Wine Warehouse in on Nicholson Street in Edinburgh. Big shout out. Never had any customers. There's never anyone in there apart from me.
It's not a great shout out.
Big shout out to Majestic, Nicholson Street. And it seemed as though the staff were just able to plug in their iPod and just play whatever music they wanted. It was obvious that they weren't like hooked up to some like co-op radio.
Yeah.
Like you'll be familiar with having worked at the co-op, Chris.
Of course.
They could just listen to whatever they wanted. Never seemed to do any work. No customers. What a dream.
I don't really know how they stay in business because I was in the one in sale. Shout out to Sarah and Jesse Blanc. And there was nobody in there the entire time. She was really friendly. But, you know, and we spent like 15 minutes just talking about different wines.
I'm going to quickly give a shout out to Sheffield on Abbeydale Road, Majestic Wine, because I'm pretty sure that they do well in staying in
business.
You got
customers?
Yeah, mainly my aunt and uncle, because they know them in there now. They're saying, oh, you're back already.
How many people were there in the shop when you were in there?
So there's always at least a couple million around. And it's not like people just go in there for one bottle.
It used to be the case that you could only buy minimum six, right?
Yeah, but now...
Now you can buy one bottle.
Yeah.
Because it's a warehouse.
But you get a mixed six deal. So you can go into Majestic and you can buy a bottle, but you'll get it for the cost price. Exactly. But if you get six...
Save a fortune on buying six.
Do you believe...
You only save about £2 a bottle.
Do you believe Majestic Wine Warehouse is a front for a criminal organisation?
This will be edited now, undoubtedly. Anything you want to say, get off your chest, say it now, because this part will be edited.
I believe Majestic Wine Warehouse is a front for organised crime.
So are we going to drink some wine?
I think we're going to drink some wine.
Yeah. So at this point, the listeners will not be able to see, but you're going to both close your eyes, and I'm going to pick a wine. I'm going to pour you some wine.
I've closed my eyes. Your eyes closed, Chris.
I'm going to give the listeners that classic sound of wine pouring right next to the microphone. There's the old... Oh, that's beautiful. So you may now open your eyes. I've poured you both a glass of wine.
Thank you so much.
I've probably poured it way too full.
That's That's a large
for a little. That is a large taste.
It's a medium glass of wine.
Yeah.
I feel like
mine's a small glass of wine, I'd say yours is a version of a medium.
I feel like you know how normally taste tests are just a little smidge and then you give your opinion. This time we're just gonna drink a glass.
Excellent. So can you tell us if we're both drinking the same glass of wine?
You are drinking the same glass of wine.
So what do you want us to say about it?
Well, you're giving
just have a smell of it, have a taste of it.
What would you say if we were just drinking it regularly?
That's the sound of Chris smelling the wine. What do you smell, Chris?
It's definitely wine.
I don't know if it is.
It's rich, isn't it?
What are you getting on your nose, Chris?
Well, can you smell chestnuts?
Is this a joke? I would say it's on the drier side of the red wine. Fairly neutral. Not an awful lot, quite berries maybe. You've had a little sip. What are you getting?
It's quite jazzy.
Okay, in what sense?
Immediately I would think that's the younger of the wines.
Of what wines?
I think we're going between these two here.
Stop looking at the bottles for a start. This is a blind taste test.
Sorry, blind taste test.
But I'm also not telling you if you're right or wrong.
Fairly complex.
Do you think it's complex or simple, Chris?
I'd say it's fairly simple.
Simple. There we go. Contrasting views.
Yeah. I mean, listeners should know that we've been drinking a Chianti, my go-to Friday night Chianti, which is a very simple one for simpletons like myself.
I think that you're the most complex of all of us when it comes to drinking wine.
What do you mean?
I think you know the most. That's a fancy way of saying you know the most about wine.
I don't know very much about wine. I drink a lot of it.
Well, see, this is the whole thing. I wonder, you know, like how if you practice something for 10,000 hours, you become a master of it. I must be getting close to drinking 10,000 hours worth of wine.
That's how you're a wanking expert.
I see. This is a thinly veiled attempt to derail the conversation. But yeah, I must be getting close to drinking 10,000 hours worth of wine.
Have I drank wine for 10,000 hours? Let's think about that.
That's a really long time.
Let's say I drank
a 3 or 4 hour stint of drinking wine.
Yeah.
Divide that by 10,000 hours.
Multiply. Let's think about this. How many hours a week do you spend drinking wine?
I would say
3 or 4.
Easily 4.
I would say 6.
There we go.
There you go.
You're the most complex.
6. All right. So 6 times 32, we're talking 300 and something a year. 300 odd hours a year.
Yeah, you're right. I'm nowhere near.
I'm 300 hours a year.
Even for the last 10 years.
For 10 years.
You're only on 3,000 hours.
I'm only on maybe 7 years of that.
So if usually people who like wine and start when they say in the 20s.
Yeah.
They're still going to be 45, 50 before they really become
a
master.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there we go. We've cracked that one. You won't know what you're talking about.
So neither of the wine masters.
So anyone who's not, you either have to be an alcoholic to be beating that or bullshitting.
Yeah, I suppose it not depend on how much wine you're drinking though, you know? Because yeah, you could sip a glass of wine for a couple of hours. The guy who's drinking a bottle of wine a night is quickly becoming a master.
But is it, I mean, would that be the case, or would they have to drink maybe like, what about a sip of 10 different wines?
I mean, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But that's expensive.
It might be worth it at this point.
Not if you get paid for it, not if you're a sommelier or something of the like.
Yeah.
I feel like those guys are ahead of the game.
Early in the podcast, it might be worth talking about.
Yeah.
So you guys drink what? You drink 4 hours worth of wine a week.
That's a stretch for me.
In this podcast, it should be, listeners should know, we measure wine by time.
Right.
So you guys drink 4 hours a week?
No, I'd say probably 2 hours a week.
Okay.
And it depends on the week, but sometimes way more.
Typical
than
Christmas week is what I'm talking about.
A typical Christmas week, definitely 4.
What kind of money are you? What kind of coin are you throwing down on these wines?
Because
this is Majestic Wine Warehouse, which is like
a little bit more on the expensive
side.
Yeah,
so like, what's your average
spend
on a single bottle?
Per bottle, I don't go below 7.
Why is that?
Because that generally guarantees the quality of the wine.
Why is that?
So I will delve into this. It's an interesting point.
I've heard this.
Yes, I think you probably have heard. I may have even made that on the last one. So that a significant portion of the cost of the wine is all in marketing and export and development of the wine, which sometimes leaves, like label design, for instance, we've got some lovely labels in front of us, which sometimes leaves not a lot of money left for the quality of the wine, but say maybe it costs about £5 for export, bottling, all of those fundamental costs, then anything on top of that is into the wine. So you might have a £5.20 bottle and 20p of that is wine production. I mean, this is just a rule of thumb, but then you have a £7.20 bottle and £2.20 of that is wine production. So you're drinking wine that's 10 times more valuable, even though you've only spent £2.20 more.
But is it not costing them the same amount to make the wine?
No. No, I mean, the cost of wine is so complex, the different things that go into the wines. I think maybe too complex to get into, but we can get into a little bit.
How much do you spend on wine, Chris?
About £7.
I go cheaper than that sometimes.
It depends on... I usually buy on a label.
I like...
It's not the same cheese. I like good cheese, I like bad cheese. I like good wine, I like bad wine. I can enjoy a cheap wine.
I can enjoy cheap red wine way, way more than I can enjoy cheap white wine.
Oh, yeah, white wine.
Cheap white wine is piss.
Well, you've lived in Spain. Uh-huh. You've paid €2 for a bottle of wine.
That's different,
you've enjoyed very, very much.
Yeah.
We did this in Spain. That's different.
Yeah, but
you're buying it from round the corner. Mm. They don't have to pay to ship it across the sea. So you're going to get
cheaper.
Yeah,
but they ship it across the sea in a giant, big aluminium bag.
And they get ripped off. They get ripped off.
Is that what they do?
No. Yeah.
Wait, they float a bag across the sea?
No, they bottle it.
No, they don't. No, they don't. The vast majority of large
wine
producers ship
that would be
wine
the shit wine.
In a
that would
giant,
be a shit wine.
Big bag in a container bag.
Like a massive wine box.
Yes, essentially a massive wine box. And then they bottle it on this side because it's cheaper. Because you can fit a lot more wine in a container if it's in a giant bag that you can to bottle it in Spain and then ship it. So they'll bottle it here and label it here. But ship it in a giant bag with a barrel on it, like a big wine bottle.
Shout out to Majestic.
Do these? I mean, they don't bottle wine.
It will say bottled at source or bottled in.
Well, that's what I was just looking for.
Anyway, the wine. What are your thoughts?
It's nice.
It's nice. I think it's nice, but I mean, knowing that we're going for one that is older, you know, longer time spent in an oak barrel or whatever, and one that is younger, I think that's the older one.
I think it's the...
We'll see when I have a good second one.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. You've got
to
compare.
Need to compare. Yeah. But that's my first thought. Anyway, let's see.
But I do like it. It's nice.
We'll see away the rest of the bottle.
It's the kind of red that I enjoy.
What kind of red do you enjoy? Because that's very, very subjective to any listeners.
That's very true.
We're talking about maybe like people who would maybe go out and I nearly just said, and buy a bottle of... and then name the wine, which would have defeated the whole object. However, that is the purpose of this, is to maybe, for people listening to go, yeah, I can see maybe I would like that wine.
It's fruity, it's easy drinking. It doesn't sit on the palate too long.
It's not got a big finish.
No. You know, it washes down quite easy. And it, you know, it's one of them, you have a couple of sips and you think, I don't know another one then.
Yeah.
This is less easy drinking than what I usually drink. I tend to go for things that I like. I've been drinking a lot of recently, like the Chianti there that we had earlier.
I'm still drinking.
But that you're still drinking
nice.
There.
Nice one.
I drink a lot of Pinot Noir.
I find Pinot Noir a lot easier to drink than this Chianti.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, Pinot is the easiest.
Yeah.
I find that much easier to drink this.
This?
The Chianti is much easier to drink than
that's
this.
What I'm saying, yeah. Easy drinking.
This is a little
easier drinking. This has got a lot more... What is that? Thicker, gloopier, syrupy. I wouldn't say it's that easy drinking. This is the kind of wine that you'd wake up in the morning with wine face. If you drink too much, you'd have black teeth, black face.
Yeah.
Not
that's
black.
What
black face isn't the you'd wake up in black face if you drink too much of this. I'd say this would go well with food. It's a foodie wine.
I was gonna move on to that.
With a nice juicy steak.
What would you pair it with? There you
cheese.
Go.
I'm a vegetarian. But cheese, maybe a it's cheese. Cheese and bread.
Cheese and bread.
That's what I'd say.
We should get some cheese and bread also.
If I was to eat some beef, which I tend not to these days.
Because you're a vegetarian.
Yeah. But I would have a nice big juicy steak.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel like I'm missing out now because I'm not drinking
have
wine.
A taste.
But you also can't see what I'm
let's close our eyes again.
Close your eyes. I'm gonna pour myself some of this wine.
I don't know why I closed my eyes so hard.
Did you properly screw up your eyes?
It's not like at primary school where I'm going to actually test if you were doing it or not. I trust you both to be doing it for the sake of the podcast.
Okay.
I've now poured and I'm now drinking.
Excellent.
It's quite a lighter colour. Or is it? I can't tell because I'm just staring right into a lamp.
Maybe. We don't need that lamp anymore.
No, we don't need the lamp.
We're going to turn off the lamp.
Okay.
It's just pointing...
right in your eyes.
It's on the lead marker.
Oh, this is a bit more complex. This is definitely, yeah, I see immediately what you were saying. This is definitely way, this is more my...
It's another level.
This is way more my red wine than the ones we've been drinking.
Oh, yeah? It's richer, isn't it?
I like complex more. This is definitely more complex. Not as easy, maybe not as easy drinking, but actually... Yeah.
You're a basic bitch.
But actually,
I'm a basic bitch.
But actually, as a result, I drink this faster. Because I enjoy it more.
That's interesting.
I definitely didn't enjoy that last one, which was the Chianti.
That's all.
As much.
That Chianti, may I say, listeners. Let's tell the listeners about the Chianti. It was the Longobardi. I think it's like 6-something in the co-op.
Pounds.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or is it maybe 7? That wine has got me through so much of my life. Like the darkest moments of my life, it's been there for me. Yes, it's simple. Yes, it tastes like Ribena. Sometimes that's what you want on a Friday night. What did you think of the Chianti?
I'm with you. I mean, sometimes you do just want Ribena.
This is so much better.
Of course it's better. I'm not saying it's not better.
Yeah.
I reckon this is decent stuff.
This is nice, right?
It's nice.
Are you almost finished? It's very nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we've seen a way of glass of wine really quickly there because
of the test.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just slightly less on this sample.
Okay.
You want the next one to be smaller glass?
Slightly smaller.
Yeah, we reckon, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, you're going to have to close your eyes again.
Fine.
Then. Yeah, this...
So moving on to the second one of the pair... So we're going to do them in two different pairs, and they're two different wine growers. So we've got an expensive one and a less expensive one. It's not a cheap one from each grower, and we're going to determine if you can decipher the difference between both of them. So continue to close your eyes, and then there we go. You've got your second glass of wine.
Many thanks.
You can now open your eyes.
Chris fell asleep briefly there.
He was sleeping on the job.
I was thinking about this snippet of information that I was going to mention, which I will tell you about now.
Good ordering.
Here's with it.
So in Majestic Wine Warehouse, they told me that the last year, this year has been okay. This season's been fine. But the last two seasons before that have been terrible for wine. The worst for a long time.
In what region?
All over the world, apart from Eastern Europe. Which is why Bulgarian and Romanian wines, and to some degree German wines, have somewhat come more into the prominence.
What about Georgian wines?
Georgian wines.
Oh, let's talk about Georgian wines.
Although I feel like we should...
We should continue with talking about these wines.
Yeah, but you probably stay on later.
But I've got a lot to say about Georgian wine.
But
I haven't got any tonight.
We'll
return to Georgian wines in episode 5 of this series.
We're probably going to be looking at an increase in the price of... most of the world's wines because of the last couple of seasons being really, really poor.
Really hot.
A bit of a mixture, really.
Well, last summer, I know I was in it during the, call it Lucifero. I'll let it like that. That's crazy.
The devil.
Hottest summer ever in Italy, France, Spain. And so like, yeah, the wine crop was flat wire.
So
anyway, I'm ready to taste this wine.
Give a verdict.
Well, I haven't tasted it yet.
Okay.
I would say it smells a lot. It smells about Jan.
Cheers,
chat. Cheers to Majestic.
I thought we should do that at all times. Anytime we're sipping wine. Yeah.
We can do the Georgian.
Every 5 minutes.
Do you want to do the Georgian?
I do.
Okay, they say Gamarjos. Okay. We don't have to do is Gamarjos.
I like the
Gamarjos. Gamarjos, Jos, Jos.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Okay.
Okay, let's go for some of this.
Gamarjos, 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 Jos, Jos.
Was there no clinking involved? Because I clinked.
We were drinking out of these weird ceramic bowls.
Did you not drink?
Did we not drink?
Yeah, I drank. I thought we'd cheersed.
Yeah, but okay. Sorry, I wanted to tell you about the smell of the wine. Oh,
that's quite rude.
Let me tell you about the smell of this wine compared to the last one. This one smells like jam.
This is quite different to the other one, I feel.
That is the correct way to do it, by the way.
Did you hear that, listeners?
You got to get oxygen in there. Get oxygen in your mouth.
This is jammy. This is very jammy. This is very fruity, berry, quite syrupy, less complex.
So if I was to tell you that one of these bottles is £20 more than the others,
I would say that means that they paid you to take one of these bottles.
No, they didn't. I was happy to take it off their hands.
I'm gonna have another sip.
I mean, that was at the same time that I approached them initially about sponsoring the podcast. I was like, if I'm gonna start really investing in some good wines with you guys, the least you could do.
I really like this. It's less complex than the other one. It's a lot easier drinking. So it's difficult. Which one's more valuable? Which one's more expensive? Which one's finer?
For me, that's got a lot more to it than the other one.
I think the other one's more expensive.
I think this one's more expensive.
Interesting. I'm glad that we've got a split opinion.
Would you be willing to put money on it?
No. I'm not confident.
Well, I mean, to be fair,
I'm confident. I think this one is much more complex. Much more.
How so?
Yeah, I mean, let's get a little bit more of reasoning for why you think
this one to me just tastes like fruit. Essentially, it's very nice, but it's essentially just kind of a sweet berry flavour.
I'm gonna, before I go anymore, I'm gonna have to quickly close your eyes. I'm gonna have a bit of a taste of
it
just to see where you're going, because obviously one of you is right and one of you is wrong. Okay, you can open again.
Uh-huh. That's like a simple fruity flavour to me. It's very pleasant. I like it.
So I will say this immediately from the nose. I know I've seen it. Immediately from the nose, I can tell that it's different. And I've heard what both of you have said about flavours. And I'm going to reveal at this point that Chris is correct.
Oh, this is more expensive.
This is by far and away.
I really like it.
This is the most expensive bottle, both on the table and that I've ever bought.
I prefer this to the other one. I'm kind of pleased that this is more expensive. Because I prefer it.
Well, yeah. Well, that's good, at least.
I'm very pleased.
Yeah, well, you would be.
But I would say the other one's complex, maybe isn't the word. You know what I mean? No, this is much easier drinking, for sure.
This wine, as soon as I smelled it, I was like, oh. I mean, I knew, but I've never had this wine before either. And I would...
Wait, it's these guys here?
Yeah, yeah. It's old man and young man.
Old man's the more expensive one, right?
Yeah.
It's just I don't know if you want to hear what it says, but selection of century-old vines of extremely limited production that has been naturally cultivated. That's all it says. Aged for 16 months in French oak vines.
So that's the big difference, is that... Is the difference in time that they've been aged as well in the oak barrels?
It's interesting.
That's been aged for how many months? Was it four?
This one says...
or was it even a matter of weeks?
6 weeks. Interestingly, the first
six
one we
weeks
tasted,
compared to 16
this wine,
months.
This one, I've drunk so many times in my life. I've bought bottles of this. I gave it to my dad.
Just to give context, this is Young Man. If you're going to Majestic Wines and you want to try these wines...
The Matsu.
We've got the Matsu Toros and... So basically, if you ask your staff, if you just go in and you ask for young man, middle man, and old man, they'll know what you're talking about. We've only got young man and old man, which is the cheapest and the most expensive. We left out middle man because
that would be the middle man.
I cut out the middle man. Correct. That is exactly what I'm thinking.
Joke.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because would you agree with me that the second one, i.e., the more expensive older one, is easier drinking?
Probably, but that's a good thing.
But right. I think
I don't want to struggle to drink something that I've
spent more
on.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I, I don't want to.
I mean, like, it's lovely. That's really, yeah.
It's almost like a piece of art. I don't want to have to look for why it's good. I want to just be immediately struck. That's great.
That's how I feel about Pinot.
Just all Pinot.
But pretty much. At the same time, I say that with the price difference considered.
Which would you buy?
And the fact that we both enjoyed the first one, which was not a cheap bottle of wine.
Mm.
That's fairly fancy.
Would you buy an old man?
Even in Spain, I think this one was about... So this is the younger one.
Young man.
I think that was about 17, 18 euro. And it was made probably 50 miles away.
You've been ripped off, my friend. Majestic, the absolute legends that work in Majestic and the price things in Majestic. That's a measly $7.99 in a mixed six.
Oh, what year? Oh, year, though. That might be the difference.
Maybe, yeah. Quite.
Maybe.
Might be the year.
But still, I mean, if it were me, I'd be picking up several bottles of that as soon as I could.
How much do you think that the old man was worth?
Cool.
Working out 27.
45?
I was being loose with the thing, so you couldn't immediately work it out. Not 45, less than £45.
You can get that for less than £45.
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
You'd get straight to Majestic, would you?
Do they do that at Majestic Wine Warehouse?
They do it at Majestic Wine Warehouse.
How much?
So the regular retail price.
Whoa.
Any guesses? Any further advances?
RRP, £39.99.
30. You can get that wine for £30.
Wow.
A bargain. Not as much of a bargain as if you get six bottles from Majestic. Get it for £25.
Wow.
For six bottles, £25, but it's one for 30. I'd get six for £25.
Not quite.
That's like, not quite. What is that per bottle? That's like £4 a bottle, guys. Majestic.
Get down there, tell them. Give them the special discount code. Say
Majestic, it's cheaper to buy more.
Go into Majestic, scream that you're a pedophile. Scream that you want six bottles of wine for £4, and you want to see some old men.
Don't say no for an answer.
I mean, that explains to me why Majestic is struggling so much. Is that they will sell large quantities of wine for less than a single bottle.
It's
it's a social enterprise. It's Majestic
madness.
Wine Warehouse.
For the people.
Turning capitalism on its head.
Brilliant. So when I went in there, the girl, I said she was very nice. And she.
You've talked about how nice this girl is.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us more about this girl.
Shout out to the girl at Sail Majestic.
Really nice.
She
do
really
you know what her name is?
I don't know what her name is.
Because I know the names of my guys at Sheffield Majestic. Carl.
Carl.
Shout out to Carl. With a K. I know that it's Carl with a K as well.
Triple K.
No. I didn't get a name.
Not triple K.
But I didn't want it to make a little, you know, we were chatting. I didn't want it to seem like I was hitting on her. It was just me and her in the store.
I mean, you fancy this one.
You never wanted to.
She wasn't.
You were attracted to the
You never girl. Want it to seem like
she
it.
She wasn't unattractive.
Well, she's attractive then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
Take the letters UN out of it if she wasn't unattractive. And she's attractive.
I think you're twisting my words a little bit.
Majestic, I would say that of all of the warehouses that I've ever been in, the staff at Majestic Wine Warehouse are probably the most attractive.
I would probably agree with that.
Would you say?
Yeah, but the baseline for warehouse staff is low.
I don't think that's fair. I think that is fair.
I just think that Majestic Wine Warehouse staff are true hotties.
And I think that they will endorse that.
What about Carl? Was he a good looking chap?
Yes, very good looking.
What did he look like?
He's a big fella. He's got his hair.
Whose hair?
Carl's. He's got his own hair.
Oh my god.
He's got his own hair.
Let's have some
on his
more.
Head?
He's got some old
okay.
hair on his head.
He's got a carry bag full of hair.
That's the only time I've seen his hair actually, he's on his head, fortunately.
Yeah.
Right. He's a very lovely chap. He's a very nice
How
guy.
Old?
I would say mid to late 30s.
What do they wear, the staff of
the Majestic Wine? They wear like sort of not like fleeces, isn't it? It's like fleece cardigans. They wear like black fleece cardigans.
I don't know.
And then some
what
jeans.
What was your woman wearing, Chris?
Next to nothing.
She was wearing like a little...
You're going to have some more expensive...
Tight little apron.
Oh, yes.
And sort of like a pencil skirt.
Oh.
Like
yeah,
high socks.
There's none
heels,
of that.
Heels, but not like, you know... Not
none of that Majestic.
Slutty
fat.
Heels. Well,
this one is
you know, like a solid 3-inch heel.
Well, there's a little bit. So I'm going to take it at this point. We should... we're going to dedicate maybe the series, the entire series, to our fallen comrade, James Igman.
Oh, it's a sad thing to talk about, really.
Yeah.
But I guess we have to raise it. God rest his soul.
Such a shame.
I mean, he's not the biggest fan of wine, God bless his soul. He's a tryer. He would really try to get it, but unfortunately, he's not made it. He didn't make it. But there's a little part of me that, a little bit like when a rich grandparent dies, there's a little part that's a bit happy because financially you're better off. And
what have you?
And the fact that we get to share this expensive wine three ways rather than four ways is the best thing I could say about James in his absence.
Yeah, and especially because he wouldn't even have enjoyed it. All he would have been saying would be, he'd just be making some sort of like really inane gag about the fact that you said four way.
Did I say four way?
Yeah.
Excellent.
But I wouldn't make that gag.
No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't point out that you said four way.
That's a joke, and that's why we're glad he's not here, so we can't.
That's the end of that episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Do you remember the bit about the wine? That was great, wasn't it? If you did like that, make sure you tune into the next one, where I don't even want to give it away. It's that good. Just make sure you tune in next time. Love you. Bye.